Got another great guest. Her name is Becky McCray. She shares lessons useful for urban and rural businesses in the new book, Small Town Rules, written by Chicago entrepreneur Barry Moltz. Becky also owns a liquor store, which, Pat, you're a fan of that, and a cattle ranch, Shane, that's for you, in Oklahoma. So, hey, it's great to have you, Becky. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. It's great to be here.
Hey, so tell me, Small Town Rules, what's this book all about?
I have to say, it's about what you just said. It's about taking advantage of the soapbox that you are given. You have the moment. You have the opportunity to talk about things. I have this moment. I'm going to talk about small towns and what people from small towns have known all along, some of these lessons that kind of got lost in big cities. You know, when's the last time you walked into a big city business and they treated you like a friend and neighbor?
Oh, all right. So what's the secret to that small town feel-good apple cider
home, just
that,
cider,
yeah, like Amish, you know? I mean, you think of Amish, right? That's what that small town.
That's a good fall reference there, buddy.
That's dropping all the way to the stereotypes immediately.
That's right. Okay. Hey, amen. So why do they do it right in small towns?
Well, you know, because we're in a smaller community to start with. And so when you start with everybody knows everybody, then you tend to treat people like people, radical idea.
Right.
But if when you start with that kind of community upbringing, then that carries over into your customer service. It carries over into how you do business. It carries over in how you treat your community. Do you reinvest in your community, or do you take the profits for yourself and just spend them on, you know, going to Chiefs games? So the question is, you know, how can anybody out of a larger community take advantage of any of this small community feel? Well, we're all doing that online now, aren't we? We're all building small communities and connecting with each other online. So we have an opportunity now. This is the moment when we have an opportunity to rebuild a small community, even within the confines of a large community.
Huh. Okay. And so, you know, we joke about the cider mill and the Amish and but there is something very tangible about that feeling that you talk about, that small town feel. Of course I live pretty far out there, Patrick, as you know, right?
Out in the sticks.
I live and I do have the cider mill across the street.
I know you do.
And I take the kids in the morning and we go for the donuts and it's an old wooden shop and there's the ladies playing bridge over in the corner. And you know what it just feels like? It feels right. Now, I travel for business a lot, right? And certainly we all have had the experiences where we say, my God, those people are rude as can be. But there's something tangible. Why is it so hard for big city people to understand the value of, one, the small town attitude, and I guess, two, the selfish benefits that come from just being nice?
Well, you know, I think the reason it's hard to understand is because we're constantly inundated with images of rural being backwards, that small towns are full of, you know, not too bright people. And because we have that kind of image thrown at us all the time from the media, from our school books, from other people we talk to, everything that contributes to that kind of goes against where we should be learning our lessons from right now. So the kind of the stereotype that we talked about is what plays into people not paying as much attention to these rules. And these rules never went away. I mean, rules like plan for zero periods. Plan for times when your income will be zero. That's one of the small town rules. I think that all of us wish we had paid attention to that lesson a little better before 2008 got here.
Hmm. All right, so what do you mean by that? A plan for your income being zero. Yeah, tell me.
Well,
how do you do it?
Zero. Well, you know, you have to do it with a long-term perspective. You have to start with realizing that there will be a time period when it will be zero. And a lot of us tend to forget that because we get a raise every year. And, you know, leading up to 2008, you know, everybody got a raise every year. The salary always went up. Everybody got a bonus. Your house value went up. The stock market was always going up. The value of your investment portfolio always went up. It was really hard to remember at that time that with every boom comes a bust and there will be a zero time period. So just like farmers, you know, if you're a wheat farmer, there's going to be a year when your crop is completely hailed out.
Right.
So you have to plan ahead for that. You have to have a long-term perspective. You have to learn to save money in advance. You have to plan for financial arrangements that are going to save you during those time periods. And you have to have multiple lines of income. This was another piece of advice that farmers have always used. They don't just grow wheat. Maybe they have cattle as well, or they have a side crop of milo or something. So that's the way farmers do it. But, you know, when the crash hit, suddenly the experts were saying, hey, everybody should have another line of income besides just their main job. Well, you know what? In the middle of the bust is a little late to hand out that advice. It's something that small towns have held on to the whole time. So, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, what are those other things that small towns have held on to the whole time and never lost sight of?
Yeah, and I think that is a good lesson. And I think it's one that that many entrepreneurs or early entrepreneurs, or should I say those hoping to become an entrepreneur, are afraid of. They think that if I go all in, or the only way to start building a business is to go all in, and that means this is a win or lose. This idea will either make me a multimillionaire, or guess what? I'm in big trouble. And so what you're saying is, no, you can actually have a few different things going, and in fact, you need to have a few things going. Am I hearing it correctly?
You bet. Let's look at no less successful of an entrepreneur than Sir Richard Branson, owner of Virgin Brands, who started with one business, and he kind of followed the farmer's rule. Isn't this crazy? He followed the farmer's rule. Establish one business or establish one crop and then extend into the next area once the first one is successful. So just like you don't see a farmer planting five new crops to try them all out at the same time, Richard Branson started with just the record store and then added the music label and then has over 200 brands and more billion-dollar brands than any other brand portfolio out there.
Right.
So that's the rule of how you get it started. You know, establish one and then extend. But it does make sense to have planned ahead, knowing that there will be that zero time. Then you say, okay, knowing that I'm going to leave my job, how much money can I save ahead? Is there another way within our family that we can establish another line of income that will help support this? Is there something we can do temporarily that will help bridge us to the new place? It involves thinking ahead to the fact that, yeah, it could be zero.
I'm out.
Have I killed everybody off with that idea?
Oh, are you there? There we go.
Yeah.
We lost.
Okay.
Oh.
I don't know. You've lost me. I'm sorry about that.
All right there, Becky. I'm sorry.
I am.
There you go.
Okay.
So we were talking about the farmer's rule. You know, you make one successful before you start the other one. And then when times are tough, you get resourceful. And whether that be in your family or on your farm or in your community, and the importance of the community working together to get through these tough times as well.
This is really key because we're seeing a lot more interest right now from all of consumers are a lot more interested in what is local to them. And so this is a key moment to stay involved in your community, to connect with the other small businesses in your area, to make as many purchases as you can from other businesses in your area so that you are recycling money within your local community and your local economy as opposed to putting your entire focus on the national economy.
Or the global economy. What about this globalization thing going on? Here's the thing. It drives me crazy. Every place I go now, it all looks the same. I got to tell you, even in the small town, it seems every place I go, I see the Pizza Hut, I see the Subway and the gas station. What's it? So how do we keep the identities that make it, in my opinion, easier to stay, remain a close-knit community? How do we keep an identity in the face of every town is looking, acting, sounding, and smelling the same?
You are so on target with this because that's exactly the trend that we're seeing. And we're seeing that counter trend, like you just mentioned. There's a lot more people who want to know. So there's a Pizza Hut. Well, is there a local pizza joint? Is there something with some local flavor? Is there a local restaurant that's cooking local specialties? And what it turns out to be is we're all a lot more interested in the stories than we have been in forever. We care about the story of where you came from and how did your business get started and how are you tied to the community. And we care about that not just where we eat, but also everywhere we shop. We want to know that the local grocery store, I mean, I know of one in West Virginia where they put in a beer garden just so their customers would have a chance to sit down and just talk to each other and build some community. I love the idea of a grocery store with a beer garden.
Yeah.
See, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the rural lessons because I love the thought, and I think you hit on it earlier. So the stereotypes and misconceptions about the rural community, in that it is slower, Slower means less creative. It means less innovative. It means it means few ideas that are
usually
changing
means more honest.
The world.
Usually means hardworking. Usually means a handshake means something, etc.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it, Brian.
I agree. But now, so the question is can't you have all those positive qualities of the small town guy and gal and actually be someone who blows it up and changes the world? You'll find out because we are. With our guest, her name is Becky McCray. You need to buy her book, Small Town Rules. We've got some more tips for you on the other end of this break. You listen to ESPN 1510.
ESPN 1510, the Tower of Power.
He's good, Shane, huh?
I tried. You know, I had Small Town by John Cusack.
This is definitely not.
And it dropped, like, 5 seconds before I was getting ready to hit play. Not kidding you.
This isn't small town music right here. Now, I understand it's stereotyped.
I'm from small town, and I listen to this.
Turn this racket off. Shane, turn that music down upstairs. We're trying to get some...
No.
Me and your father, we're trying to have a nice supper. Turn that music down. All right, listen. Shane, you're a small town guy.
I am.
All right, so you tell me. When you growing up in a small town, then you came to the big city, Kansas City, which really isn't that big. Did you sense a difference?
Bigger than La Crosse.
Bigger than where?
La Crosse. There's about 1,200 people in La Crosse where I'm from.
Wait, so the town you grew up in was called what?
La Crosse.
It was La Crosse. I like that.
La Crosse.
Really?
You just like it because you like the sport.
I like the sport, La Crosse. So La Crosse, Kansas?
Yes.
All right, and how would you describe the people?
Very friendly. I was just back there this weekend, and I went to Hayes, too, which is the bigger version of La Crosse.
Oh, it's a big city. They got the Ramada right there off the I-70, sure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. They could.
And my wife and I were just talking about how everyone was so much nicer. So, you know, you're not really ever alone, it seems like. Like, even people you don't know, people are like, hi, how are you today? You know, Kansas City, you don't get that as much. Yeah. You do it on occasion and spots, but, you know, there, people we never saw before, you know, they were just, it's cold today, isn't it?
A little more engaging.
You know?
Yeah,
quite a bit more. Open the door.
I
kind of like
that. What he just said. And I don't think he thought he even knows how good that sounded. You never feel alone.
I think
that's a Hallmark card right there.
You never feel alone in La Crosse. Oh my God!
I'm gonna.
Well, now you know, and you know what's funny is now you come to Kansas City and you
feel alone.
You feel alone.
We cheer injuries. Is that what you're doing with that?
That's exactly right. That's right. No, but Kansas City is typically had the reputation of being a place where what's a good Midwestern value town? Yeah. And so, and it certainly is that, right? But now, compared to, let's say, Philadelphia, New York, or the perception is that when you jump from that hustle bustle, they're not so interested in the individual. And then you come out to Kansas City, it's so nice. Well, now even Shane's saying Kansas City is like a big city attitude. How should we all be, Becky McCray? I'm confused. By the way, Becky McCray is the author of the book, Small Town Rules. Check it out. Guess what? This book, it's not only for the rural business person. There's some great tips in here that are flat out going to make you better at what you do and probably even happier. So Becky... I mean, are we all so different, the rural person and the person living in the Bronx in New York? Are we all that different?
Well, we're all people. It's just a matter of the kind of community that we're raised in. You know, I had a good conversation with Jeffrey Sass, who was raised in Queens, New York. But when he was raised in Queens, he said it was a lot more like a small town, you know. There was your little neighborhood park, and the parkie, the guy that worked at the park, was, you know, knew all of you, and he took care of the kids and would send them home if they needed to go home, and how everybody in the little community would call his mom if he misbehaved. I said, that's just like a small town.
Right.
So small neighborhoods can be like small towns as well. One of the things you said before the break I want to jump on, which was, can you be from a small town and still be tearing it up in business? And I don't want to let that go because I want to introduce you to Fred Carl Jr. from Greenwood, Mississippi. We're talking Mississippi Delta here. This is not an area known for its economic empowerment.
No.
As a matter of fact, it's entrenched poverty, decades of decline. Fred Carl Jr. started a little company that you've probably heard of, Viking Range. Viking Range comes out of Greenwood, Mississippi. Originally, he had all of his production done at an outsource facility elsewhere, and he found that he couldn't keep tabs on what was going on. So he finally moved all of that production to Greenwood, Mississippi. It has remade the face of that entire region based on one entrepreneur's success, the fact that he was tearing it up as an entrepreneur. He was able to come up with innovative ideas. He was able to break past the stereotype of, you know, slow, not too bright, not doing much, no ambition. He was able to do something really big from a very small place and completely changed an area.
Well, and I think that's happening more and more, and I think it has to happen more and more. I mean, you know, companies these days, from a manufacturing decision-making process, have to decide, do I have a product made over in China? Or do I take a able-bodied and willing and tight-knit community, and can we bring jobs to that community? You know, we really have choices. I think that's, we talked about in our last guest, you know, I'm going through that decision now. There's decisions that need to be made. Can it be done affordably? Can things be done affordably here in the States to compete with the likes of China, et cetera? And guess what? I think the answer is, heck yeah. In fact, you can get a lot of the things that our eye first goes over to China. You can get them in the rural communities. And why would you want to do it? Because for selfish reasons. Mm-hmm. Because you do have an attitude that actually creates productive. I mean, these are communities, and there's so many benefits that come from community that a company can benefit from, right? So are things, I mean, things could be getting better in the rural communities, don't you think, Becky?
The research out of Baylor University is that small businesses within their community, whether that community is a neighborhood in a large town or it's a small town, small businesses that are locally owned are associated with higher average income levels, less income disparity, lower crime rates, better health indicators, lower rates of death from things like diabetes. So there's a whole range of things that locally owned businesses make a huge difference in your community. This is why it's so important for all of us, no matter where we are, to find and focus on what is local in our community and what constitutes our local economy. This is all part of Rule 7, which is about getting reconnected to what's local in your area. And it goes back to what we just said about knowing and telling the story about where your business comes from and how you fit into that community. What connections do you make? Every business has the opportunity right now to build better connections in their community, to benefit their community, and they're going to benefit because customers are going to come back to them, because this is the time when customers really want to connect with what's local and what's part of their community. So now is the moment to be building those local connections.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. My first job right out of school was a medical device company called Welch Allyn in a very small town called Skaneateles Falls, New York. It's like Bedford Falls from Harry Bailey and Mary, right? It really is. And in fact, the It's a Wonderful Life was modeled after these towns in upstate or central New York. And this was a company, a medical device company, that was started with an invention of what's called an ophthalmoscope, and that's a scope to look in the eye. And this eye doctor created this gig. Moral of the story was, at some point, a family had to make a decision. Do we head to the big city, big lights, manufacturing, or do we build a business in this small community? Now, here it is, 95 years later. This family, which is one of the most decent families I've ever met in my life, you look back and you look at the generations that they have supported, and the workers who have supported their family, the moral of the story is these folks can walk the halls or walk the factory floors, and it is an absolute family, and they could never imagine leaving this small Skaneateles Falls, New York. Although many cities have tried to take them away, the North Carolinas, the big boy places. And so the biggest gift they get beyond a pretty good P&L is they know that they've changed the lives of countless people in a small town. And that ain't a bad thing to have either, is it, Becky?
You know, there's an entrepreneur in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who said, if you want to drive social change, the best thing that you can do is start a successful business, because it gives you the opportunity not only to benefit your community, but to decide how you're going to treat your people. You know, Grand Rapids is really not that much of a small town. But, you know, if you want to look south of you guys, look at Mound Ridge, Kansas. Grasshopper mowers used globally. Huge company based still in Mound Ridge, Kansas, because they get the best quality production right there.
Amen. Hey, well, listen, Becky, thank you so much for joining us. Where's your website so people can go there?
Smalltownrules.com.
Smalltownrules.com. Go there, but only if you want to have the attitude. It's this close-knit attitude so people like Shane could feel like they're not alone. Right, Shane? Hey, good show today, boys. Good show today. And I, you know what? I'm going to perk up my attitude. You know, maybe
you're
I am.
Always,
good,
you're always an up guy.
Maybe
come
I'm in
now.
A good small town. Maybe Kansas City isn't as mean and hateful. Boo! Hey, listen, I hope you enjoyed the program today. Hey, Tony Robbins is a pretty smart, motivating, happy guy.
He has banana hands.
He's got banana hands, but you know what he says? Identify your problems, but give your power and energy to solutions. In other words, quit moaning. Go out and make something happen. Change what problem you see, and great things will occur. But most importantly, come back and join us next week on ESPN
1510.
Love you. See you next week.
KCTE, Independence, Kansas City. This is ESPN 1510.